go ahead and take our Bibles and go to the book of Psalm. We actually looked at in the Psalms last Wednesday night as well, but Psalm 78. And you look at how many verses are there, and you're worried that we're going to be here for 78 minutes, probably, looking at all those verses, because there's a lot of verses in Psalm 78, but we're not looking at all the verses. In fact, we're just going to look at a few in the beginning of the chapter. And I will tell you that this chapter has been on my heart for the past week or even more, as I've been looking at some things from this passage. And I tell you, as I looked at it, it's just something that struck my heart, and yet it convicted me of something that I need to do better. And I want to share with you this passage tonight, because I think that we all need to be involved with this. And so let's look at Psalm 78, and we're going to look at just verses 1 to 8. I'm going to read it slowly, and I'm going to read it clear, try to be very clear, and I'm going to even put emphasis there on things that I want you to grasp as we look through this, and then I'm going to give you a little outline of some things that we need to be thinking through for this past year and this coming year. Psalm 78, starting in verse 1, please follow along as I read it. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. All right, did you understand it? First of all, we see the works that God has done. Question, has God done works? Now, this statement is a statement of the past. Has he done works? That's something that he's already completed. Has God already done works? What's the answer? Absolutely. God has done works in the past. He's done many things. In fact, I could stop right now and I could say, what are some things that God has done? We could all go back to the Bible times. We could go back to the Old Testament times. Did God do a lot of great works in the Old Testament? Absolutely he did. And we could rehearse some of those things. God has done this and God has done that. We see, first of all, there's a recollection of works that God has done. His very specific in this passage, his attributes, who he is, who God has declared himself to be, his power that he has demonstrated to us. God is a God of power, and he has demonstrated his almighty power and his wonderful works. Thirdly, God has done some amazing things. So his attributes, who he is, his strength and his power, his wonderful works that he has done. Now, we could look in previous generations. Oh, yes, we could go back to Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and then up until today. But even back generations in the past, I'm not even asking you to go back to Bible times. Just look in the past generations, your parents, your grandparents. Maybe some of you would remember some blessings of your grandparents, your great-grandparents, excuse me, great-grandparents. Do you even remember your great-grandparents? Now, for some of us, you know, I have a few faint memories of my great-grandparents. Some of you would say, no, I did never know them. They were gone before I was brought onto the scene or whatever. We all have different things. But I want you to think back to previous generations. Now, some of those generations might have known God. Maybe they did not know God. For me, I am a second-generation Christian. Even though my grandparents are saved, I consider myself a second-generation Christian because they got saved even after my mother was saved. And so however you want to look at it, I only have really one generation of Christianity in my life that I would be able to claim. So however you want to look at it, a second or possibly a third generation as a Christian. Some of you might go back further generations in their knowing God and their serving God. But we look back. Was God good to those generations? The answer to that is yes, he was. Of course he was good. And there might be some things. There's no doubt whether those great-grandparents or grandparents were Christians serving the Lord, God was doing special things in their lives to bring your grandparents or your parents or you to the place you are today. None of us can say that there's no bearing from our previous generations on our lives. There's no way we can say that. There was something to do with those people. And maybe very passively, maybe God did work that they didn't do, but God had done the work that has impacted our lives. But we see the works that God has done. By the way, I would encourage you to dig up some of those things that came from past generations and choose to remember those things because it would be good for you to recall all the things that God has done for you in your life to bring you to where you're at tonight. It didn't just happen with a decision that you made maybe a long time ago to get saved and to go to church and you brought it on. No, God brought it on. And God has given you a heritage that you can look back on. Again, maybe they were not Christians, but God has given you a specific heritage to bring you to where you're at today. And I would submit to you, we all need to thank the Lord for that heritage. God has been good to us. Would it have been possible that we would be born into families that did not know God at all and might not know God? Absolutely. There are many people, many families right now that are living that God has never been a big part of the family, and religion is small and church is small or nothing, and they don't have it, and who knows if it ever will. And I want to tell you something. I'm very grateful for the family that I was born into, even though they got saved right around the time that I was born. And I'm 44 now. I know, really old and a long time. But I tell you what, that's pretty young when it comes back to a godly heritage. 44 years really is about 44, 45 years is all we have. Before that, it was other religion, didn't know the Lord, and they certainly didn't, Jesus Christ was not a part of it. God, maybe, but even that was, I don't believe that they were saved, I can tell you that. We're not, maybe Christian by name, but they were not believers. I praise the Lord for the family that God, and we've all probably asked this question, what if I would have been born in another family? And of course, that's kind of a futile question. You weren't. But we praise the Lord for it. We praise the Lord for what God has, where he's brought us today. And this passage kind of, even though it doesn't talk about remembering back, there's the pulling up of what has happened in the past. And we need to thank the Lord. And here in just a moment, we're going to take an element of that and recall and thank the Lord for what he's done even in this past year. But there was the works that God has done, his attributes, his power, his wonderful works in previous generations. And I want to encourage you to thank the Lord for that. But in current generations, in our current generation right now, is God still at work? Is God still showing his attributes? Is God still showing his power? Is God still doing his good deeds? He is. He's still alive and he's still doing amazing things. And so we have our current generation. Right now, we can look individually. And I want to encourage you to think back. What has God done for you individually? Even this past year. It doesn't have to be this past year, but it could be. What has God done for you this past year? Has God been good to you? We're here. There's a lot of other people that are not here anymore. God has called them home, and God has left us here for a purpose, and we can thank the Lord. Individually, family-wise, there are things that we can thank the Lord for, families. Again, I know I'm speaking across the board. Everybody doesn't have the same family situation that maybe you have or I have or so-and-so has. But we need to thank the Lord for the families that God has given to us. But what has God done, and how has he shown himself strong recently, currently, with your family? We have our church. God has been good to our church. And yet God has shown himself very strong in 2020. And we have things to remember that God still is showing his attributes, is still showing his power. He's still filled with wonderful works. You have a situation at work or your employment, and I know maybe some of you are past that age, but you have your work, and we can thank the Lord for the jobs that God has given to us, or maybe yours is in the past, and you can remember back, and we praise the Lord for what God has given to us, you know, by means of our employment. We can thank the Lord for our country. Yes, you heard me right. We can thank the Lord for our country. Because even though there's lots to be desired in the United States this very night, we still have it very, very, very good. And we can thank the Lord that we still live in a place that we can worship freely. We can still make decisions. We can still... so much, folks. Let's not get so distressed and discouraged about the negative things that we can't stop and remember God's goodness in the past and in current days of what we have, because we still have a place to where we're still free to come to church tonight and to worship. And we don't have to worry about the police coming in and breaking in and arresting all of us because we're part of some illegal event. It's happened all throughout, and there's places in the world today that are like that. And we're still a free country, and we can praise the Lord for these things. So we have a previous generation, we have the current generation. So first of all, we have the works that God has done, and then second of all, we notice in verse 4, look at verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. There's another element than just remembering what God has done, and that's taking it to a new level and showing the generation to come what God has done. Do you realize, Christians, that we have a responsibility to pass to the next generations the thing that God has done? And God is not just speaking here to fathers and mothers. He's speaking to us as Christians that we pass down to the next generations. And by the way, did you notice it's not just the next generation? It's we passing down to the next generation so that they can pass it along to who? The next generation after that. There's at least a grandparent-grandchild relationship here that we need to be faithful to. I've said it many times. The goal of raising children is not to raise just good children. In fact, if you just raise good children, you fail. The goal of raising children is that they raise good children who will raise good children. Honestly, it cannot stop. Any point in that matter that it stops, then somebody has failed. And so I'm not just trying to raise good children. I'm trying to raise a child that is going to attempt to raise good children. Again, and I know that they all have their own choices. I'm just saying that we would do everything that we can that they would impart to their children. And I'll tell you what, that's a very high calling. That's an amazing task that I would be able to hand down to my children something. Now, how is that going to happen? How would it be that they would not only know God, but notice, and I want to jump ahead, that it's not just showing the next generation who God is. So you remember in Judges, there was Joshua, and God has shown himself completely strong and good in Joshua's day. And Joshua gives Moses and then Joshua, and then into the Judges, what happens? In the second chapter of Judges, what do we find? A generation that didn't even know God. Now that's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. Obviously there was a parent somewhere along the line in just a couple generations that dropped the ball. These kids didn't even know who God was. Now that's drastic. Shame on me if my grandchildren don't even know God. Wow.
Do you catch that? That's bad. Now, this passage is not just really talking about, you know, that you know, two generations down, they wouldn't know God. There's a higher calling for Christians than just raising people that know God. Did you catch what the calling is? You'll find it in verses 6 and 7. What is it? Oh yes, that the generation to come might know them. That's the praises, things of God, the attributes of God. So that they would know God, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. But look at verse 7, that they would do what? Okay, it goes on to keeping their commandments, but what does it say before that? That they might set their hope in God. There's a higher calling than just raising young people that know who God is. Know his attributes, know his power, know his works. That they would set their hope. What's hope? Well, there's a lot of different ways we can define it, but it's a confidence, it's an eager expectation of something God is going to do. Friends, I want to tell you something, that's hope. And a lot of people today don't have that hope. But do you realize that today, our calling tonight, as we get ready for 21, is that we would pass down to our children, our grandchildren, that they wouldn't just know God, but that they would set their hope in God and that they would obey his commandments. That my grandchildren would live their lives in such a way that they expect God to deliver. They expect God to provide. They expect God to protect. They expect God to give them everything that they need. That they would expect the scriptures and they would put their faith and trust, and that they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is not going to leave them or fail them. I'll tell you something. We cannot pass it down if we do not have it ourselves. But that's not the point for tonight. The point for tonight is this. Is that number one, we need to be remembering back what God has done for us. That's really a big point. We need to remember. If we don't remember, we have nothing to pass on. Your life, it's detrimental to your family's life. It's detrimental to your church's life. It's detrimental to our nation. I'll tell you, our nation is in the way it is today because there were some parents that did not pass down the things and the praises that God had done for them. God's character, God's power, God's workings. They did not pass it down. And now we live in an almost pagan nation. And yet, in some of your days, God was everywhere. You know what I mean when I say that. God's still everywhere. But he was all around. People weren't embarrassed to talk about God. People weren't appalled. People weren't, you know, didn't feel like they were being intruded upon because you mentioned God. Kids could talk about God. Kids could have Bible clubs. Kids could pray. You could do all these things that many of you grew up in that age. What happened? Some parents didn't pass down the goodness of God in that so that their kids could come up and say, you know what, God is good and I believe in God. Because there's a lot of children today that are not believing in God. And I would submit to you that it's our fault because we've not passed it down. So we need to remember what God's done. We need to pass it down. And we need to pass it down enough that they would be able to tell their children the things that happened in your life and maybe even your grandparents' and your great-grandparents' life. I was convicted about that this week. I had a question, and I got to thinking. I said, do my children, and I've got two of them here right now, do my children, would they be able to say anything of my great-grandparents and what God had done in their lives? I don't think they would. They don't even know my great-grandparents. What about my grandparents? That would be their great-grandparents. My children know their great-grandparents a little bit. Of course, the Wangers come here, and so they know them a little bit. They did not know the Frys. They might remember some little tidbits of Grandma Fry giving them a little gift or something like that when we visited them in the apartment in the last years. Girls, do you remember great-grandpa Fry? So they don't know Malin. Let me ask you a question. Were there some blessed things to share about Malin Fry? I'm saying this to my shame. They don't know hardly anything about great-grandpa Fry. Okay. What about their grandparents? Now, they do know their grandparents more. They spend time with grandparents in Wyoming. They spend time with grandparents here in Pennsylvania. They do know some things about their grandparents. But I tell you what, there's a lot of things that they don't know about even their grandparents' life. You know what the sad thing is? The other day, Melissa and I were studying this. And my wife said, you know what? You ought to share what God has done for you in your life in the early years and how God brought you to the Lord. And to my shame, I thought, I don't even know that my children really even know my whole story. Now, how will my children go on to spread that to their children, their grandchildren, if I drop the ball? But I want to tell you something. If I can share with my children what God has done in their daddy's life, everything I can possibly think of, and their grandparents' life, and their great-grandparents' life, and that we can't go much further than that because I don't know about great-great-grandparents. But let's go back to generations. Let's remember, let's write it down, let's make it a point to share, let's transmit it to them so that they have something to share. I want my girls sharing about great Grandpa Fry and Grandma Fry and Wangers and on my side Madrid and folks. And I want them sharing about that, but they cannot share it unless they are told. And they're not going to be told unless we stop and remember. It's time to reminisce a few days before the new year. And I would submit to you, it's time to begin to share. No matter how old your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren are, it's time to share. Because that's what God wants. Why? That they may set their hope in Him and be obedient unto Him and walk in His ways. Lest, verse 8, might not be as their fathers. Now again, this is their forefathers. Go back. And I'm not saying, you know, just that generation that did not seek after God. A stubborn and rebellious generation. A generation that set not their heart aright and whose heart was not steadfast with God. If we don't, they're going to return to the human way. Of course, God can intervene at any point. And people do. So the question is what has God done for you or us this past year? We're not going to open it up tonight and share everything what God has done for us in our past. Every one of us should have lots of things. Here's my challenge. I want to challenge you in the next couple days to take some time to, as you go home, to take out a piece of paper or get on your computer, whatever, however you take notes, and to start to reminisce and think back of some of the things that God has done for you to bring you where you're at today. Saved or unsaved, it doesn't matter. What has God done to bring you? How has God's character been shown? How has God's power been demonstrated? How has God's actions influenced your life? Write them down and then thank the Lord, like we're going to do tonight. Thank the Lord for His goodness in your life. And then what? What are we going to do with that? Pass them on. Get around to your family and say, kids, I can't believe I'm ashamed that I've never told you this, but it's time that I tell you. It's time that I tell you God's goodness in our lives. It's time that you know how good God has been. And don't spare. Don't go measly on it. Don't go little. Go big. Tell them as what you can possibly think of. God was so good when this, when that, when this, when that. God was good. I want to share it with you. I find so many times that in our lives, I go home, something good happens in a certain day, and you go home and I tell my wife. And I don't even tell the kids. Why would I do that? I'll tell you something, I'm killing the next generation. I'm stopping it short because they're going to get there. And you know what? And this is what people are doing today. They're saying, I don't even see God in my life. How come God isn't good? I see this in the world. I see this in the world. And I lost this and I lose that. You can't tell me that God is good. What's been the problem? They're not hearing from anybody God's good. And they're certainly not going to hear it from the world. They've got to hear it from somebody. It's time that we start passing down God's goodness. I submit to you. I urge you. Let's start passing down, because the future of our individual lives, the future of our families, the future of our churches, the future of our states, the future of our country is at stake. It's at stake. Lest they forget God. And we're this close from forgetting God in America. Let's not go that route. All right, that's the end of the lesson, but I ask you the question, how's God been good? How's God been good? Now, we're not going to go back and thoroughly review in our individual lives. We could, I guess, if you want to say something. And we're not going to open up. This is not a big thing. I didn't bring up the board tonight. But I wonder if there's just a few people that just mentioned, you know, just some good things. Even this past year, it could be individual. It could be family. It could be work. It could be even in America. Just a couple things. Again, I'm not going to just go until there's nobody. I just want to hear a couple things just to get us thinking. And then I'm going to go on to something else. But how has God been good to you or us this past year? Anybody have anything you'd like to share?